It's time for light that darkness can't defeat. It's time to escape from the shadow of death and into abundant life. For the people living in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Welcome to the Great Light Program with David Oyedepo Jr. Get set to arise and shine, because your light has come.
We're continuing in our series of teachings, which we began on the first Sunday of this month, entitled, What Wisdom Is This? What Wisdom Is This? And our principal focus is the wisdom that comes from above. Remember in the book of James chapter 3 verse 15 down to verse 17, the Bible says, this wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, is sensual, is devilish. And in verse 17 it says, but the wisdom that comes from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. We saw there four types of wisdom classified from scriptures. First, we saw earthly wisdom. We call it common sense. Every individual that is born on the earth has this kind of wisdom. That's the wisdom that allows a baby to know where to put food. It's what allows the child to know how to go to toilet. It is common sense, but the best it can procure is common results. And then we have sensual wisdom, which is the product of intellectual exercise. We call it intellectual wisdom. It is the product of personal development, study, and so forth. And this wisdom can produce certain degree of results, at least beyond common sense. But we also have what is called devilish wisdom or diabolical wisdom. This is the wisdom that is operated by men of the occult. Wicked dimension of wisdom, operational to the detriment of others, and also disaster on those who operate it. Because remember, according to scriptures, those who follow after other gods, he said their sorrow shall be multiplied. But then there is the wisdom that comes from above. And he that cometh from above is above all. It is above every other kind of wisdom. It brings them into subjection. It takes dominion over territories and brings victory to the saints. That's the wisdom that is answering for you this season. Somebody believe me, say louder, amen. Amen. We saw that wisdom operational in Daniel. In Daniel chapter 5 and verse 11, the Bible tells us there concerning Daniel, he said, there is a man in your kingdom in whom the spirit of the Holy Ghost is. He said, and in the days of your father, light, understanding, and wisdom was found with him. He said, your father made him to be master of magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, soothsayers. All diabolical wisdom operational were under the dominion of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 1 verse 20, we saw also, the Bible said concerning Daniel and his friends that they were found to be 10 times better than all the magicians, astrologers, and every other one that was in their realm. This wisdom is clearly above all. We saw the wisdom of God operational in Solomon. And the Bible tells us that all the intellectual giants of his days, he was greater than them all. 1 Kings chapter 4 verse 29 down to verse 34. The wisdom that comes from above is clearly above all. And I see that wisdom answering for each one of us in the name of the Lord Jesus. But what is our access to the wisdom from above? We'll look at a few things here very quickly this morning as we dive into God's word. Number one, a tireless commitment to the study of the word gives you access to divine wisdom. And the reason is simple. Because God's word is God's wisdom bank. God's word is God's wisdom bank. It is the wisdom of God in print. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 11 and verse 49, speaking of the scriptures, he said, therefore said also the wisdom of God. So the scriptures are the wisdom of God in print. And every time you commit yourself to the study of the scriptures, you gain access to the wisdom of God. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15, he said, study to show yourself approved unto God, the workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. When the Bible tells us to study to be approved, it means that study gives you proofs. A man that is committed to study, the study of the word, will generate or will automatically become a commander of proofs. The Bible said in the book of Acts chapter 2 verse 22 concerning Jesus, it said, Jesus Christ, a man approved of God by signs, by miracles and wonders, which he did in the midst of you. So you become a living wonder when you are approved of God. And that you gain access to via a commitment to a life of study. One of the icons of scriptures in the New Testament is Paul the Apostle. And Paul was a man committed to study. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 13, Paul speaking said, the cloak that I left in Troas with Carpus, when you come, bring it with you. And the books, especially my parchments. He was a man committed to study. And what do we see concerning Paul? The man who came last of all the apostles, he became the prince of the apostles. In 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 15, Peter speaking concerning Paul said, he said, accounting that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our brother Paul also, according to the wisdom that is given unto him, has written unto you. And look at Peter's description of what Paul has written in verse 16. Also in his epistle, speaking things which are hard to be understood. Now, you must understand who is speaking here. Peter is calling what Paul is saying hard to be understood. Who is Peter? Peter is the one who spoke, and Jesus said, no man could have revealed this unto you except my Father which is in heaven. The same Peter looked at Paul and said, what this man is saying is complex equation. It is hard to be understood. The wisdom of God descended upon Paul by a commitment to a life of study. I pray for each one of us that as we receive grace to commit to a life of study, the wisdom of God that will distinguish us will rest supernaturally upon us. Amen. Somebody believe it, say louder, amen. Amen. So be tireless in your commitment to study. Tirelessness is a product of recognizing that God is totally inexplorable. You cannot exhaust him. All the depth, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his ways and his paths past finding out. We must commit to continuously searching, because the more you search, the more you find. Number two, joy and rejoicing is a vital access to the wisdom that comes from above. In the book of Isaiah chapter 12 verse 3, the Bible tells us there, it said, with joy you will draw waters out of the wells of salvation. It takes joy to gain access to revelation. You can't find a joyless person that is a revelation-filled individual. It takes joy to gain access to revelation. Joy unspeakable that is full of glory. Philippians chapter 4 verse 4, Paul the apostle speaking there said, he said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. That's the secret. A life of continuous joy. A life of continuous joy. A life of joy and rejoicing. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16, he said, rejoice evermore. So there is no space for mourning. Joy is to be the permanent state of the believer. From this day, joy shall become your permanent state. Amen. Come on, somebody believe me, say a louder amen. Amen. I said, from this day, joy shall become your permanent state. When a man operates through joy, he gains access to revelation. Psalm chapter 16 verse 11, he said, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. When a man or a woman is filled with joy, they are shown the path of life. God opens the seals of the book unto them. They are able to see the secrets and the mysteries of God. Shout hallelujah. Number three access we have to the wisdom from above is through impartation of the spirit of wisdom. Impartation of the spirit of wisdom. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6 and verse 7, here Paul speaks, he says, wherefore I put thee into remembrance that thou shouldst stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. And he says, what is that gift? For God did not give you the spirit of fear, but of love, of power, power and of a sound mind. Wisdom. So wisdom is a gift that can be released by impartation. In Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 9, it said that Joshua was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands upon him. And please hear this, the laying of hands is not the only avenue for impartation. In fact, impartation takes place more through the transmission of his word than the laying on of hands. The Bible tells us, he said, and the spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet. Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 2. Jesus also speaking said that it is the spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Right now, the good news is this. Even as God's word is going on this morning, there is impartation of wisdom taking place. Is somebody believe me? Say louder, amen. I said somebody believe me? Say louder, amen. And much more so, when the prophetic word begins coming at the conclusion of this service, it is a channel of impartation. He said, the gift of God is put unto you by prophecy. So prophetic words are spiritual avenues of transmission. God took Moses and he said, gather the elders of Israel. And he said, I will come and speak unto you. And as the Lord began to speak unto them, he took of the spirit that was on Moses and placed it upon the 70. For each one of us this morning, as the prophetic word will be coming at the conclusion of this service, I see the spirit of wisdom that he has put upon his servant resting abundantly upon us. Somebody believe me, say louder, amen. But it's important for us to recognize that to keep flowing in divine wisdom, we must continue to acknowledge the source. Wisdom dries up the day you take the glory for it. In Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and verse 24, he said, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, nor the mighty man in his might, nor the rich man in his riches. But if anyone will glory, look at verse 24. He said, him that glorieth, let him glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. He's aware of where it came from. The wisdom of God must continuously be acknowledged by acknowledging the source. If you look at all through scripture, you discover that when we talk about the wisdom that comes from above, it never comes from a man, it comes from heaven. They looked at Joseph one day and said, I've heard of you that you have capacity to hear a dream and interpret it. Joseph was quick to respond. He said, it is not in me, but God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. They looked at Daniel one day and said, how is it that you're able to get the dream and the interpretation of it? He said, there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets. The secret of keeping the flow of wisdom is to continuously acknowledge the source of wisdom. The moment the source is not acknowledged, the flow is stopped. The flow shall never stop for you. I said, the flow shall never stop for you. I said, the flow shall never stop for you. I said, the flow shall never stop for you. Instead, you shall be going from greater wisdom to greater wisdom, from testimony to testimony, from breakthrough to breakthrough. Somebody believe me, say louder, amen. Now, on our quest to encounter destiny, we must take note of the following. Remember, according to scriptures, the life or destiny of the redeemed is like a book with chapters. In Isaiah chapter 29, verse 11 and 12, the Bible said the vision of all is like the words that are written in a book. So every destiny is like a book with chapters. Imagine a book with 36 chapters. And many may be in chapter 2. Never call the case closed because chapters still remain. But the question is, there must be an encounter with God's word to experience the opening of new chapters. We talk about encounter with destiny. We are talking about the opening of new chapters to the book of destiny. And this morning, I see new chapters opening to the book of your destiny. Somebody believe me, say loud, amen. But it's important for us to recognize that the avenue through which chapters are opened is the avenue of word encounters. Every time a man encounters God's word, there is the opening of a new chapter. That's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18, it said, we all with open face, we behold him as in a glass, and as we behold the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory. The exposure you have to the revelation of his word is what brings about the transformation of your life. The exposure you have to the revelation of his word is what establishes the transformation of your life. And I pray that for each one of us this morning, there shall be an opening of new chapters to every one of us. Amen. Somebody believe, say loud, amen. Amen. I said somebody believe, say loud, amen. Amen. But it's important for us to first recognize some of the realities of redemption. Every child of God has had certain privileges purchased by Christ. So I'd like us to see a few of these snapshots of your destiny in Christ. Just a few snapshots. Number one, it's important to note that every child of God has a glorious destiny in Christ. Say with me, I have a glorious destiny in Christ. In the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 29 and verse 30, he said, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And he said, whom he did predestinate, he called. Those he called, he justified. And those that he justified, he glorified. Everyone that is a child of God is ordained by God for a destiny of glory. Say with me, my destiny is glory. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, the Bible said that he has called us unto glory and virtue. So you are not called unto shame. You are not called unto reproach. You are called out of shame. You are called out of reproach. You are called into glory. You are called into honor. You are called into beauty. Somebody believe it, say louder, amen. I'd like you to recognize that. And you see, anytime you hear the word call, call simply means to speak to one expecting that one to come. So it means that he may have met you in reproach, but he's calling you out of it. He may have met you in shame, but he's calling you out of it. He may have met you in dishonor, but he's calling you out of it. Somebody believe it, say louder, amen. It doesn't matter what your state is. God has called you into glory and into virtue, and that glory shall be manifested upon your life. Even as God's word is coming your way this morning, his glory shall reside upon you. Remember, I said, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. That shall become your experience. Number two, every child of God has an enviable destiny in redemption. So may I have an enviable destiny? Remember, the Bible tells us in Galatians 4:28 that we are children of the promise as Isaac was. And the Bible tells us the experience of Isaac in Genesis 26 verse 12 down to verse 14. He said, the man went forward, he became great until he became very great, and the Philistines envied him. You are not designed for pity. You are not designed for mockery. Watch it. Those who are mocking you now, they will envy you very shortly. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 15, it said, you who was forsaken and forgotten, and you were hated so that no man went through you, I will make the same you an eternal excellency, the joy of many generations. Everyone that was mocking you, they will watch God make you. Somebody believe me, say louder, amen. I said, somebody believe me, say louder, amen. One of us just testified, 23 years of waiting. She said, many mocked, many jested. Many may have called the case closed. But those who were laughing in jest, they are not laughing that way now. Because the testimony is in her hand. She's carrying the evidence of God's visitation. For somebody under the sound of my voice, you shall be carrying the evidence of God's visitation. Number three, and this is important. Every child of God carries potential that is greater than all the saints of the Old Testament. Everybody in the Old Testament, all of them. Your destiny potential is greater than them all. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 11, he said, of all born of women, there's none that has risen greater than John. But the least, the smallest, the tiniest, the most insignificant in the kingdom is greater than he. No matter where you are and no matter your placement, God said, in terms of potential, you are greater than every saint in the Old Testament. That means greater than Abraham. It means greater than Solomon, greater than David, greater than Daniel, greater than Joseph. Name them. He said you are greater than them. In Hebrews chapter 11 verse 39 and verse 40, he said there, he said all of these, having obtained a good report, they got some good things done. He said, yet they received not the promise. Why? God having preserved some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. It means that there are greater things that God has in store. Even Jesus said that the works I do shall you do, and greater works than these shall you do. So the greatest works have not yet been seen, but they will be seen through your life. I thought you believed, you'll be shouting a louder amen. Number four, every child of God is ordained a pace setter and a trailblazer. You are not an ordinary citizen. You are not a mediocre. You are ordained a pace setter and a trailblazer. In Matthew chapter 5 verse 13 and 13 down to verse 15, the Bible tells us, he said, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, what wherewith will it be salted? It is good for nothing but cast out and to be trodden underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city set upon the hill that cannot be hidden. Now, question. When soup is not sweet, you add salt to soup. When salt is not sweet, what can you add to salt? Nothing. Salt is the solution to sweetness. And God said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the sweetness of the earth. You are the beauty of the earth. You are the trailblazer on the earth. Somebody believe it, say louder amen. When God injects you into a situation, God said, there is nothing else to add. You are the salt. You are the trailblazer. You blaze the trail. You pathfind there. You create solutions there. I see it becoming somebody's experience. Finally, number five. Every child of God is redeemed as a king and a priest to reign upon the earth. Say with me, I will reign here. Amen. Come on, say it loud, I will reign here. Amen. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 and verse 10. The Bible said to us there, and they sung a new song. And thou, he said, thou who hast worthy to open the book and all of that to blot, and all kindred and tongues sang. And verse 10 tells us, he said, and he has made us unto our God as kings and priests. And where will we reign? We shall reign on the earth. On the earth. On the earth. Not when we get to heaven. On the earth. On the earth. On the earth. I have good news for you. You shall reign on the earth. In your career, you shall reign on the earth. In your business, you shall reign on the earth. In your family, you shall reign on the earth. In your academics, you shall reign on the earth. Somebody believe me, say louder, amen. Those 5 points are 5-angle snapshots of your destiny as the redeemed. But we see that destiny must be encountered like we have seen via his word. How do I have encounters with destiny? How can I position myself for encounters with destiny? Let's look at a few things quickly this morning. Number one, you must be spiritual. You must be spiritual. Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, the Bible tells us there, it said, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You must be spiritual. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, it said the carnal man can, or the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. He said, for they are spiritually discerned. You must be spiritual. You must be spiritual. You must be spiritual. Number two, you must be prayerful. You must be prayerful. In Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3, he said, call unto me, I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that you don't know. So prayer is an avenue to receive a word from God that brings about the opening of your destiny. Prayer. You must be prayerful. You must be prayerful. Come asking God, Lord, as I'm going to this service today, open my eyes, open my eyes, open my understanding. Every time I'm privileged to minister to people on the street, I tell them all the time, as you are coming to church, before you go to bed tonight, pray a prayer. God, I don't want to attend this service like I'm just going to an occasion. Open my eyes, open my understanding. Because you encounter destiny through the altar of prayer. You encounter destiny through the altar of prayer. Shout hallelujah. Number three, be spiritually sensitive. Be spiritually sensitive. The Bible says in the book of Revelation chapter 1 verse 10, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. He said, and I heard. You must be in the spirit. You must be spiritually sensitive. You must be in the spirit. Position yourself appropriately. Somebody asked me yesterday as I was ministering on the street, he said, how will I, now this service you are inviting me for is encounter with destiny. He said, how do I position myself to encounter destiny? I said, listen, don't expect that the sun will be shining a different way. The weather may be still normal. But the day a person's life changes is the day he positions himself spiritually, asking God, Lord, there is a moment in this service where something will come in my direction and to change my story. I said, that catching up moment is what you are looking for. Settle down. Refuse to know who is beside you, right and left. But wait for the catching up moment. Elijah said to Elisha, he said, if you see me when I'm caught up, if you are not distracted, if you have not lost your concentration, he said, then everything I carry times two will be yours. I'd like you to understand that every time you gather in God's presence, there's a distribution of heavenly goods. But it takes the spiritual to take possession of it. But I know that for somebody here today, that which is being distributed, you will catch your portion. Yeah. Number four, you must be God-loving and kingdom advancement passionate. God-loving and kingdom advancement passionate. God loving and kingdom advancement passionate. When your heart is sold out to God, the best of God is released unto you. You must be God loving. You always gain access automatically to the heart of God. You must be God loving and kingdom advancement passionate. In 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 17 and verse 18, we see the story of David, a man who loved God, a man whose heart was after God. He said, it was in my father's heart to build a house unto the Lord. And the Lord said that it is in your heart, you have already done well. When your heart is sold out to God, you naturally do well. I see that becoming somebody's experience from now. That heart for God was so intense, and the result of it was a greatness that was unmatched because of a heart for God. It's important to note, however, that to see destiny fulfilled, one must remain steadfast in the faith, not wavering. This is a vital necessity. Stay steadfast. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, be steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Be steadfast. With God, you require consistency. It is consistency that brings transformation. With God, you require consistency. So all that we have said this morning requires continuity. Those who continue in it will naturally see it operate supernaturally in their lives. The good news is this. I see this day, by the encounter you are having with His word, your destiny opening a new chapter. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember there are several chapters. As you continue with God, the chapters keep opening. And you keep going from glory to glory, from level to level, from testimony to testimony, from breakthrough to breakthrough, from lifting to lifting, from promotion to promotion. Somebody believe it, say louder, amen. Lift up your right hand to heaven this morning and give God thanks for His word that you have received this morning. Appreciate Him. Father, thank you for your word. I give you praise. I give you glory. You are worthy. Thank you, mighty God. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed.
Someone's knocking at the door. Someone's knocking at the door. Can you hear him knocking? Can you hear him knocking? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus is at the door.
Say after me, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I know that I'm a sinner, but I know you died for me. And on the third day you rose again. Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. Take control of me from this day forward. Now I know that I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I pray for you, Father. I thank you today for these precious ones you have drawn into your kingdom. Let the grace that has brought them keep them in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, for each one of them, we decree today that the barriers against their life and destiny be broken in the name of Jesus. Grace to walk with you all the days of their lives. Release it upon them. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Somebody believe, say a loud amen.
If you have just received Christ as your Lord and Savior, or are blessed through this broadcast, we would love to hear from you. For inquiries and testimonies, send an email to info@tglmedia.org. We also invite you to visit one of our Winners Chapel churches near you anywhere around the world. Until next time, keep walking in the great light.